Welcome to the ConjuCast, the podcast that you never made a deal with. We're also the show that didn't make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, even if you round down, but we do provide an Asian perspective into the galaxy far, far away. I'm your host, Bria, and with me are my co-hosts, Brian and Jay.
Hello. Hello.
On today's episode, we're recasting the Star Wars universe and making it entirely Asian because we can. So sit back and enjoy the ConjuCast. And hey, guys, how are y'all doing?
Wait, I thought there's no Asian space, though.
Damn, I knew I got something wrong in this episode. Okay, we're done. Let's go home.
It's okay. It's science fiction, right? We can do this.
Okay, cool. How you doing today, Brian?
It's been a long day. I'm tired, but I'm rounding into form here.
We'll power through it.
You know what we should all do? Let's just look up those pictures of Michelle Yeoh's dress from the BAFTA, which is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, let's do this.
I can't believe you haven't seen it, Jay. Is this because you don't check the Slack? Because someone definitely posted pictures of it in the ConjuCast channel.
Yeah, that dress is giving me life.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, of course I didn't.
It's the most regal thing. Like, it has a cape built into it. That is the dress I aspire to.
All right, here we go. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right?
That is very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like half cape, half like train, like you would have like on a royal outfit.
Does it pass muster? Can she wear that dress to be Empress of the Galaxy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll work.
Okay. Oh, Jay, never change. Okay. All right. Shall we get into the news, which is actually good, and there's not tons of it this month, unless I just forgot to write things down, which is entirely possible. But I will take good things for, and then there's this. So to start us off, ABC ordered a Chinese-American family comedy from Jessica Gao and Imagine. I didn't read the article too recently, but that's pretty cool because that'll be their second Chinese-American family comedy they have.
Right, I mean, it shows like it shows that we won't just have like Fresh Off the Boat as like the family comedy. Now we're going to have enough to have multiple shows, and maybe they'll have a different tone, and that would be cool.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be set modern day too, and Fresh Off the Boat is set in the 90s right now, so that'll be a different vibe. Which
I do love that 90s vibe.
I can't believe they're on season 5 for that show, though.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god, time flies.
Like, you look at the kids in the opening credits,
oh,
and they're
true.
Still... Yeah, and now so, you... Yeah.
He looks so much older. Like, especially, like, Eddie. Like, oh my god.
He grew, like, 2 feet. It's fine. And then, for our other cool thing that we have, is that Lucy Liu is going to star in Why Women Kill, which is going to be a CBS All Access show. And essentially, I think this is CBS being like, we need to keep Lucy Liu on our payroll because Elementary is ending.
Smart CBS, or smart, keep her on payroll.
She's Lucy Liu. Why would you not want to keep her on payroll?
It beats me.
Yeah. So, okay, Jay, you might know the answer to this. All Access is what they call their online streaming service, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. Why are they doing this to me? Oh, I mean, I'm going to have to buy it.
You can watch the Star Trek show that Michelle Yeoh is going to do.
That's true. I feel very targeted right now by CBS.
Captive audience.
I know, right? Was there anything else that I missed from that we can think of? Anything that went ridiculous? I know we're in award season and I've kind of lost track of who's won what awards, but...
Yeah, I can't think of any other major news items that, like, came to mind.
Brian, you got anything?
I can't think of anything. It's been quiet-ish on the news front.
Which, you know what? That might actually be a good thing. I will take my two happy things and I will go with it. It's better than how we originally started. Oh, I know what we can talk about for a little bit. That Aladdin trailer.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, because of that reaction you just had, Brian.
Every new thing that comes out about that movie is just Michael Scott cringe.gif.
They really blew it there.
Jay.
Hi.
Jay.
Why?
Just needed some lamp shading.
Yeah. I feel like everything I see for that movie makes me more and more concerned. Like, no shade, and no pun intended by saying shade just now, but no shade to the guy playing Aladdin, but he does not look like a teenager.
Mm-mm.
The monkey looked good, though.
Yeah.
That's the one thing this movie has going for it. The monkey looked good.
And the parade, the Prince Ali fancy parade thing with the dancers, that was really colorful and nice.
We got two things.
I'm going to struggle for a third.
I got nothing on a third.
I just wish they would stop. They would stop. Really, okay. With the live actions.
I mean, there was a rumor that the bad reaction to the Aladdin trailer caused Disney to release the Frozen 2 trailer early, so that's a positive, at least for me.
Okay, that's a tangential third thing.
You know what? I'll allow it. Just this once, Jay. Just this once. Oh, yeah. I have a feeling that when that movie comes out, that's going to be in our segment for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's going to be a recurring guest.
I mean, I want to believe, but also... Yeah.
It's not giving me much reason to believe.
No. But hey, plus side, Lucy Liu will be there for us in Why Women Kill.
Yes, at least we have that.
Thank you, CBS. All right, shall we dive into our discussion topic this month?
Let's dive in.
Okay, so like we said last episode, which I think we did, we decided that we were going to recast Star Wars and make it Asian, and I want to say, and I should have written this down, but I didn't, like an idiot. This idea came from one of our Patreon subscribers, and hold on, I'm trying to scroll. I want to say it was Jared, but that's probably going to be wrong, and I really should have written this down. No, wait. Am I right? It's from Spark. Because the names are hard. It's from Josh. There we go. I'm good at names, guys. All right. Anyways, so point of this is that if you give us ideas for episodes, we just might take them. So here's the ground rules for how we did this. Was we went with just the major roles in the prequels and the originals, because recasting the current Disney era films felt like it just didn't feel right. Especially because there's already a decent number of Asian actors in there. And plus, it's more fun to deal with the prequels and the originals since we know how those stories end. We did not take the added challenge of trying to find era-appropriate actors because I can't do enough math to figure out who was in their early 20s in 2002. So just roll with it, and also roll with the fact that a couple of my choices are definitely too old at this particular point in time to play the characters, and just roll with it. This was harder than it looks.
It's okay. Like, We've got a time machine. It's cool.
Like, I've got a number of blanks on mine just because this is fan casting is hard.
It is. It really is. So yeah. So we're going to try and do this. I think it's going to be fun. If you guys have any input on this when you're listening and think that one of us got it really right, or okay, maybe not if one of us got it really wrong, but yeah, just let us know. So, should we start with the prequels?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with Anakin, and let's go with Phantom Menace era Anakin. And the other thing I want to add is that we have not shared our castings with each other. Our show notes right now are literally just lists of characters, and that's it. So this is all going to be a surprise to everyone. So who wants to go first to share their tiny Anakin?
All right. Go ahead, Jay.
So I got Ian Chen, who plays...
Damn it, that's mine!
Yes! Evan in Fresh Off the Boat. He's just perfect for that role.
He really is. Oh, Jay, I hate you!
So I actually only have one Anakin selection, and it's a little bit of a stretch for young Anakin because he was older the first time we saw him really in films, but we've seen him through so many parts of his life. Dev Patel.
Oh. Interesting. Okay, so here's my... Oh, well, I guess that will be spoilers if I ask you my question, my next question. But my next question is going to be... I tried to do it when I did mine, was keep the ethnicity. So if I cast an East Asian actor for Anakin and Padme... And if I cast East Asian actors for Anakin and Padme, I try to cast East Asian actors for Luke and Leia. Did you guys try to keep to that, or did you just... cast blindly?
I did not. I casted more of a blind net just because it was a little more fun for me.
Okay. Jay?
Yeah, I tried a little bit, but then when I reevaluated like to see who would be a better fit, I changed some of my answers.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I want more justification from one of you as to why you went with Ian Jen. I mean, I know why I went with Ian Jen, because he's adorable. I was watching Fresh Off the Boat while I did this, but any other...
Yeah, I mean, I guess the note I put is like he can play like a cute kid, but also like a clever kid, and like that combination is sort of what Phantom Menace Anakin is. Like he was, you know, the first look at a super innocent Anakin before he got to the moody Anakin, or you know, the Darth Vader Anakin. So that's it was that contrast that we had with Jake Lloyd that I wanted to keep with Ian Chen.
Okay, cool.
And for me, it was just we've seen Dev Patel acting for so long from such a wide age range that it seemed like it could be a fun fit to what if we just cast one person as Anakin and just followed them through for a long time.
That would be interesting. Okay. All right, so Jay, I guess you and I have to go with our older Anakin.
All right.
I went with Harry Shum Jr., who is technically too old right now, but for some reason, I just really, really liked him. How about you, Jay?
I went with Dante Basco.
Ooh.
Oh.
He could do a reverse Zuko.
Interesting. Okay. See, we have three very different picks for this one. See, I went with Harry Shum Jr. because, like, he has this sort of roguish quality to him that I thought would work well for Anakin. And also, I was going off of the Ian Chen thing.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I wasn't making any attempt to match.
Hmm. All right, does anyone, based upon what we've heard so far, would anyone like to change their Anakin answers, or are we all sticking with them so far?
I think we're all sticking with our answers.
All right, okay. Okay. Padme, I'm going to say mine. First, all right. Because I can. If she can't play Revan, I would like Gemma Chan to be Padme, because that woman is just incredible and looks beautiful in everything. And I think she also has a heck of a lot more range, especially in that there's that TV show, I think it was like on AMC, called Humans, where she had to play a robot, and then the robot who was a little bit who can. It was kind of like where they're the standard robots, and then the robots are a little bit more human and like people, and she had to play both roles, and I think she would do really good as Padme.
So I wish we had taken bets beforehand, because I think I totally called Gemma Chan for you on this one.
I also put down Gemma Chan for Padme.
Jay, what'd you put?
So I actually changed this one. Originally I had Scarlett Johansson, but I realized she wasn't a great Asian.
Listeners, take a shot for when you knew that joke was coming.
And I actually today went with Auli'i Quirvalho, who plays Moana in Moana. She's actually the right age range, and I just thought the combination of I think I remember watching like one of the documentaries that was coming out like during the movie, and she had the same sort of vibe that a young Natalie Portman had, the combination of being like a well-spoken young actress who was sort of interested in social issues, and I think that would translate well into the character of Padme as well.
Interestingly, I chose her for the same reasons for a different character.
You Darth went Vader, with Leia, right? Didn't you?
I did.
I am ashamed of myself for not thinking of her for any of these. Oh, she's...
Actually, not quite. We'll come back to that later.
Okay. I like that. Oh, man. See, I wanted to go... A part of me was tempted to try and get, like, a younger actress in her 20s, but I just love Gemma Chan so much. I feel like I failed. But I did do a bonus casting, and I put Kimiko Glenn and Lyrica Okano as handmaidens just because I could. And I want them both in Star Wars.
Oh, I have a bonus casting that we can get to later.
Yeah. And then, so, do you guys watch Orange is the New Black or Runaways?
I watched the first few episodes of both of those shows.
Okay, so Lyrica played Nico. And then Kimiko Glenn is a character in like season 4 or 5 of Orange is the New Black. But they're okay. Adorable and I love them.
Excellent.
Are we really surprised I went with Handmaidens?
No, absolutely not.
Nope.
Okay. All right. I'm reading your thing. Let's go with Obi-Wan.
I really struggled with this one, and I don't know why.
Brian, can I tell you who I went with for Obi-Wan?
Go for it.
And why I laughed? I went with Dev Patel.
You know what? I thought about using Dev Patel for Obi-Wan as well.
Because I think I was thinking something along the same line as you, is we've seen him acting for a while. And for some reason, he worked. He was interesting for me in that role.
Yeah, I can definitely see that one.
How about you, Jay?
So I went with Daniel Dae Kim. I wanted someone who could sort of play the young-ish action hero, but then also like age gracefully into Revenge of the Sith, Obi-Wan. I thought Daniel Dae Kim would be perfect for that.
Ooh.
I could not really settle on an Obi-Wan, but Daniel Dae Kim was on my list I was considering.
I'm sorry, I'm just sitting over here Googling. This is a really good excuse to Google actors who are very attractive.
what a chore this episode is.
This is just painful, guys. Oh. There was a lot of actors who I really... So for me, I was trying to do a balance of actors who were both East Asian actors and then from more of the continent as well. And Daniel Dae Kim was definitely on my list of like, oh, I want to work him in somewhere. But then I decided casting the entirety of the pilots was probably a bad idea. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we all have the same person for Qui-Gon?
I guarantee I don't.
Okay, who's yours?
Melinda May. Yes, I gender swapped. Ming-Na Wen. Yeah, and I have it written as Ming-Na Wen, but I went with the character name. But yeah, Ming-Na Wen.
I see your Ming-Na Wen, and I raise you Michelle Yeoh.
Okay, so we both went up. We both had the same idea here, where we've talked about wishing that Qui-Gon was gender swapped in the past, I know.
Yep.
Yep, went with it here.
So Jay. I have both of those, but for other characters. For Qui-Gon Jinn, I went with Mako.
I used him later.
Hold on, I have to Google again real quick. Oh, that's a shark!
Uncle Iroh.
Yeah. Uncle Iroh's voice actor.
Okay. Fun fact, when you just type in Mako.
Oh, you get a Mako shark, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could have gotten the Mass Effect Mako.
That was not what showed up. I could see that.
And it would be a funny thing. Too bad he's not around. Well, you'd get his Qui-Gon's voice talking to Dante Basco Anakin, which would be pretty funny.
Ooh. Okay, I give you points. I definitely give you points on that one. That's interesting. Huh. Okay. Although, Brian, I like that you and I, our heads were in the same place on this one.
Listen, not having Qui-Gon be a woman in Phantom Menace was just a lost opportunity.
I mean, Liam Neeson was a great actor, and yeah, but, oh, man. Okay. Jay?
Yes.
My Palpatine is for you.
Interesting. But don't we have to go to Dooku first?
No, I'm jumping because I can.
All right.
I'm in charge, Jay. I'm in charge.
You are the Senate, I guess.
I am. I said that to some. Wait. Someone said something to me the other day, and I'm like, oh, so you are the Senate? And they're like, what? And I was like, no, never mind. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Explain it. Dang it.
It did not work. I'm going to butcher her name, but Sherry, I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, that was my Palpatine.
I know exactly who you mean. She plays the best character in The Expanse.
Yeah, yes. Sheree Agdashloo.
Thank you. She is my Palpatine.
Also my Palpatine.
I can dig it. I can absolutely dig it. I went with someone different. I went with Michelle Yeoh.
Huh.
Interesting.
I love that we all gender swapped Palpatine. Oh, man. Okay, now I'm just... This is interesting. Because I'm wondering, how did the dynamics change if you have both a female Palpatine and a female Qui-Gon as these influences on Anakin's...
Oh, so the angel and the devil on his shoulders are both women this time.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like he may have turned out better.
Maybe. Brian, did you somehow cheat on my notes for this?
Nope, I have not seen your notes.
I'm impressed we're 2 for 2 with getting the same... Or no, are you and I 2 for 2? No, okay, we're basically 2 for 2, because we both went the same vibe for Michelle and Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, we didn't use the same person, but went with the same gender swap idea.
Yes, no. Who was it? No, your pad name was Gemma Chan, too, right?
Yes.
Oh, we are 2 for 2.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. I thought we were going to have more debate on this, guys.
Well, yeah, there's still
minds,
time.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. So actually, Jay, since you are the local Palpatine expert.
All right.
Based upon the option that Brian and I gave you, who do you think would be the better Palpatine?
You mean between Michelle Yeoh and Sheree Aga, I can't pronounce her name. Yeah. I'm still leaning towards Michelle Yeoh just because she has both... both of them can sort of turn it on and off like a switch, right? They can look like the good, nice people and then switch it to being very menacing and evil. So it's a really, really hard decision, actually.
Yeah.
But I'll go with Michelle Yeoh just because we also had the question about her looking like the Empress of the Galaxy at the beginning of the conversation. So,
I mean, that's valid. That's a very valid point.
I'm definitely sticking with mine because what if Christian Avasarala was evil is a fun game to play.
Right. Like, there's that one casting I think I showed you ages ago where someone cast her as Darth Treya from KOTOR.
Dear God. Yeah, perfect.
I think I showed it to Brian and I just yelled for like an hour afterwards because it was so perfect. If she did play Palpatine, though, I'd be like, just let Palpatine say fuck.
I mean, yeah.
Be great. Be so great. And I can't even say one of the lines now because I used our one F-bomb. Darn it. I have failed you, Anakin. I have failed you. Okay. How about Count Dooku?
Francois Chow, from who you may remember as Admiral Wynn from The Expanse.
Ooh.
Is that a season 2 character?
Season 2 and 3.
Okay, then I probably have not met that character yet.
Yeah,
he's the guy from Lost, too.
Yes.
Wait, who is he in Lost?
One of the doctors at the institute thing. I haven't seen Lost in a while, but yeah. I could go with that. Jay?
So... This one, I dug deep into the Bollywood well, recognizing that there's like an entire industry of South Asian actors that most Americans are not familiar with. So I wanted to capture this sort of Sir Christopher Lee vibe of Count Dooku, so I went with Amitabh Bachchan, who is sort of an absolute Bollywood legend. He's been occasionally called the most famous movie actor of all time because he has over a billion fans. And he's an older actor. His career spans like 42 years, and he started playing angry young characters, and now he's sort of transitioned to more graceful, dignified characters. So I thought that fit perfectly for Count Dooku.
I'm gonna have to cede this one to you, Jay. That sounds like perfect casting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I went with Ken Watanabe, which I felt like was taking a cop out, but yeah, Jay, you win.
Yeah, that's a winner.
My folks will be very pleased. He's the only Indian actor that I know very well because I loved him as a little kid, which is telling because he was in his old age when we were still kids and still famous.
Nice. Okay, how about Shmi?
This was the hardest one for me.
I went with Joan Chen.
Yeah, I can see that one.
And again, like part of what I did with this was I tried to keep ethnicities at least somewhat aligned. I'm pretty sure that at least few of the actors I have, like there's a Korean actor who I cast, their mother is Chinese, and it was as far as I could go, but like I was trying to link her back to Anakin. But
yeah, I had a really difficult time with Shmi. Partly because I think Star Wars doesn't do enough with her. Like, we don't have, like, any books or anything. We just have the movie, and so it's hard to form a good association. Like, we'll figure out somebody else. So I just thought to myself, Asian person, family, and then I just thought back to our episodes on Golden Globes, and I remember that Sandra Oh moment with her family. I'm like, well, what if Sandra Oh was Shmi? And I just went with that.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I blanked on this one. I racked my brain but couldn't think of someone. I like yours, Bria.
Yeah, I started going through the IMDb list for, like, Marco Polo. Which struggled a little bit at times, but man, you want to talk about a TV show that features a lot of East Asian actors. That one had you covered.
It's true.
Yeah. And I learned that apparently she was on Twin Peaks. I did not know that before that. So yeah, all right. So to recap, for Anakin, we have both, well, for Tiny Anakin, we have Ian Chen from Two of Us and Dev Patel. Older Anakin, we have Dante Basco, Harry Shum Jr., and Dev Patel. For Padme, we went with Gemma Chan, and Jay, remind me of yours.
L.E. Carvalho.
L.E. Carvalho. Oh, right. Ali Carvalho. Do we have any consensus on those and who we like on either of them? Because the more I think about it, I'm not sold on my Anakin. But I'm not sold on either one of your Anakins either.
Let's just go with Ian Chen then, the kid.
Yeah.
Or just make him grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if he can do angry Revenge of the Sith Anakin, though. He's so sweet and cute.
Oh, but when he gets mad, he just has that silent, glary face, and you're just like, oh my gosh.
I know, but it's so pouty and adorable.
I know.
Oh, boy. All right. How about our Obi-Wans? I went with Dev Patel on that one. I don't remember who you two said.
I had Daniel Day-Kim.
Day-Kim was also on my list.
Okay.
I kind of like Dev Patel as Obi-Wan, though.
Yes, I'm getting you to my side.
Yeah, I'm kind of going that way now.
All right. And then our Palpatine and our Qui-Gon was just Asian female excellence, apparently.
Yep.
I really want us to dive into it. Wait, can we talk a little bit more about how the dynamics would change?
Oh, boy.
Like, does it get... Because it's very much both of them... Or actually, let's even add in Obi-Wan, because we all kept Obi-Wan as male, right? But we swapped both Qui-Gon and Palpatine. So do any of these dynamics change because you're adding in, you're swapping two of the potential father figures in his life for mother figures, even though his life was a mother?
I wonder if he would have contrasted their perspectives more. Like, Shmi told me this, but, and Qui-Gon told me this, but Palpatine told me that. Like, I wonder if that would have made Anakin sort of think through things a bit differently.
Yeah. Man, can we go back in time and get these?
Oh my gosh.
It'd be so good. It'd be so good.
Missed opportunities, George.
Oh. And really, I think if we go with Michelle Yeoh and basically my Palpatine and Qui-Gon picks, we get the best of all three of our worlds with the casting. Because between the three of us, we all went with some of those actors at
that one. That is true.
Okay. Are there any other actors or characters in the prequels that you guys thought of? And we're like, man, you should have put this on the list.
Yeah. So I have Rick Oley, who is Manny Jacinto, who's Jason from The Good Place.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, that's perfect.
Captain Obvious in the flesh.
The whole planet is one big city. Yeah. No, wait, it has to be Manny Jacinto playing Rick Oley, like, but doing it as Jason.
Yes, he has to have that Jason Mendoza-like tone.
Oh my God, this is beautiful. But then everyone would be, like, swooning over Rick Oley. Which... I don't think I'm ready for fandom to swoon over Rick Oley.
Brave New World.
Yeah. I got another question for you, Jay.
Okay.
Did you come up with anyone for C.O. Bibble?
I didn't, actually. Did you?
I did not, but I really want to hear who you would cast, because it's you.
I know. Oh, man. Dang
it. Ryan, feel free to chime in on this one.
I have no thoughts on C.O. Bibble, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
I was just buying Jay some time. Come on, Jay.
Let's revisit this after the original trilogy. I'll need time to think about that one.
It's a very important question.
I mean, that's valid, I guess. Did either of you guys do Bail or Mon Mothma? I was looking at them earlier.
I definitely did not do Mon Mothma.
Oh, I should have thought of a Bail, though.
So the only reason I didn't put them on the sheet originally is I wasn't sure how I felt recasting Hispanic actor.
True, yeah.
But then I came up with a Mon Mothma, and I was like, I have to come up with a Bail. But my Mon Mothma, I went with Kelly Hugh, who voiced Visus in KOTOR.
Oh.
I thought she has, like, the gravitas to her that I thought she could pull it off pretty well. And then Bail, I went with Andy Lau. Which, actually, he's also a pop star in Hong Kong, so I'm not really sure how good of a casting that one is, but he looked really good in a suit that I saw on the press tours. So, oops.
That works.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian, you have to have someone who you could put in for Bail.
Bail.
Who can pull off a cape like that?
Oh, there's got to be someone.
I figured it out.
Oh, who?
It's my Dooku. It's Ken Watanabe.
I was just thinking that, but didn't say it because I knew we'd set him somewhere else.
Yep.
But yeah, he could totally do a Bail cape.
Yep. Because we decided that Jay's Dooku was the best. Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Jay? Any thoughts on Bail?
No one come to mind. I'm still thinking about Sio Bibble. It's the most important question. Bail who?
It really is. I mean, well, Bail's the best, but come on. There has to be someone you could see with that beard, the pointy beard of doom.
Jason Momoa?
Oh my God.
No. There's the worst choice of the night.
That's bad.
You just said pointy beard, so I just thought of the first name to come to mind.
Jay, we are taking away at least half of the points we just gave you for picking the perfect Dooku. I don't know how many points we gave you, but I'm taking away half of them. Come on, Jay. You can do it. I believe in you. I'm putting you on the spot because I can.
Nope. I got nothing right now.
Okay. Do you want to move on to the original trilogy and we'll loop back to this one?
On to the OT.
Okay. Who is your Leia?
I went with Jay's choice for Padme.
Okay.
I went with Constance Wu.
I went with Lana Condor. So I went with mine. So for some reason, I did a little bit of a better job at casting age appropriate for the OT than I did for the prequels. But I liked Lana in she was a good Jubilee in the 5 seconds we got to see her, and I loved her in all the boys I've loved before. She just I know she can do sci-fi. She's doing that Deadly Class show. So
oh right,
yeah. How about you guys? What's your justifications?
I just think she's rad. That's it, really.
Jay.
Yeah.
That's not a justification, dear.
I mean, okay, so we've seen her as sort of both the sort of domineering parental figure, so she can do like sort of the hard military vibe that Leia can get to as she's older, but then we've also seen her as sort of the hard scrabble protagonist in Crazy Rich Asians, so I just thought she has the right range to be able to play both sides of Leia.
Okay, that works. Brian, I feel like you already sort of justified yours earlier in the Padme conversation.
Yeah, I mean, for all the reasons that Jay suggested, Ollie Cravallo for Padme is why I went with her for Leia, specifically thinking like A New Hope Leia.
Solid. All right. Who's your Luke? And Brian, before you answer, I need to know, did you get Nancy's input on this one?
I did not get Nancy's input. I should have.
Tread carefully, then.
I'm going to let Jay go first.
Oh, I see how you did there. You're going to go run and ask Nancy for her input, or no?
No.
Okay. Come on, Jay. All right.
So I went with Ming-Na Wen on this one because, first of all, we know she can play the fighter and the warrior with Mulan, but then also I was thinking specifically, what would this Luke Skywalker character look like in the sequel trilogy? And I think she could also play the older retired Luke, and that's like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing that came up, like that kind of character she was playing with Melinda May, so I thought she had the range to sort of do both of those.
Huh.
And we know she's wanted to be in Star Wars, which is probably why all three of us picked her at some point.
I actually didn't. She's not on my list.
Oh, she's not?
No. I'm a little ashamed of myself, but I just couldn't find the right... I couldn't find the right spot for her. Interesting. Okay. Because I did not gender swap Luke, but all right, Brian, or do you want me to go to first?
You can go.
I went with Ryan Potter. He did the voice of what's his name? From Big Hero 6.
Priya, would you believe that is actually who I have?
Really?
Yeah.
Hero.
Yeah.
Brian, we've been friends for too long.
We have been, because that's making these segments all way too eerie.
By the way, guys, at the end, before we exit out of the show notes, I want everyone to add in their casting into the show notes so we have them preserved somewhere. So what was your justification?
Pretty much entirely that I loved the character in Big Hero 6 and I loved the voice work, and I thought that would translate well to a nice, earnest Luke.
Yeah, that was close to mine. And also, I know he can do the more action-y characters because he's Beast Boy in Titans right now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Now,
and I feel like he always gets talked about in connection to superhero stuff, so seemed right.
Now, I will say I'm taking a liberty with this casting to also extend into the story world a bit. Leia goes to Tatooine and Luke goes to Alderaan.
Oh. Okay, tell me more.
Well, that's going to have to do with our next casting choice.
Arhan?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Okay. Who's your Han?
My Han is Louis Tan.
Ooh.
And he still falls in love with the Alderaanian.
Interesting. Mine's Henry Golding.
Ooh. Mine's Henry Golding.
I like that choice.
There's another reason why I picked Henry Golding for this, but I will tell you guys about that when we're not recording, just because it's vaguely embarrassing. But yeah, I thought Henry Golding could pull it off well. Even though he plays the very proper, you know, posh guy in Crazy Rich Asians, I could see him doing the whole scoundrel thing. He's got the smile down.
Oh my god, that's almost literally what I wrote too. I wrote like perhaps he's a little too cleaned up, but he could also do a scoundrel.
Okay, I want, for the record, I swear I did my notes before both of you.
You did. I did mine last night and this afternoon.
I did mine a week ago.
Oh, wow.
How did you both steal my phone? All right. So, Brian, why don't you tell me a little bit more about your gender swapping and your... No, wait.
No gender
swapping.
No gender swapping here.
Okay.
But
role swapping.
Well, I mean, there's that. You've seen the fan art of Luke and Leia, but if they'd wound up with the other's parents,
right?
So, I love that art, and the panel I love most was Han and Luke on the Falcon in Empire. You know the scene where 3PO shows up and cock blocks him.
like always.
Yeah. But I thought, you know what? If I'm going to be retroactively fan casting this to make it significantly more Asian, why don't I also make it significantly more gay?
All right, I'll buy it. I'm good with it.
We have that power, right? We can do that.
Absolutely.
We do have that power. Also, Louis Tan should definitely be into Star Wars.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I almost cast Christopher Sean as someone. Then I went, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's already a Star Wars.
I nearly did that a half dozen times.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to skip down to Vader because on mine, I have 3 question marks and then Chow Yun-Fat and then 4 more question marks because I don't know how you swap that voice.
Jason Momoa? Question mark?
See, I went with The Rock.
Interesting.
For the voice or the body?
Well, I was originally thinking just the body for the frame. Okay. And I thought, you know, he has a distinctive enough voice that it wouldn't be James Earl Jones, but it would still be a distinctive voice, you know?
Yeah, if you run him through some kind of a digital processor, that could work.
I can't hear it.
That's because we've got how many years of James Earl Jones being James Earl Jones.
That's true.
In our ears.
Yeah, that was...
It was hard.
That was the one I was stumped by the most. I don't even know what the answer is.
Yeah, that was a hard one.
We let someone play the character, but we keep James Earl Jones' voice there.
Yeah, okay. Then either one of your castings work. But, yeah. If any of our listeners have any good ideas for who could do a Vader, let us know, because we're all just... Yeah. I got nothing. Okay. How about our Obi-Wans then? And the thing I'll ask is, did you keep your young Obi-Wan in mind when you were doing this casting, or did you connect your Obi-Wans or not?
I didn't, but it doesn't go too badly, I think, for mine. I went with Ken Watanabe there, which I think was your Qui-Gon, right?
It was my Dooku. We've changed him to Bail.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, this is where I went with Mako.
Oh. Ah. I like that one.
I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, after A New Hope, then you get Force Ghost Mako through the next couple of films, and I think that'd be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. I went with Anupam Kher, who was in Sense 8. Because I was trying to match to Dev Patel.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But I like the idea of Mako. But then I'm not sure who I want as my Obi-Wan. Jay, who was your Obi-Wan again?
Daniel Day Kim, the young
right.
one.
Okay, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Did anyone do Yoda?
I almost did Yoda. I almost went with Pat Morita, who's the guy from The Karate Kid, and he's also the Emperor's voice in Mulan.
Ah, that could work. I mean, also, Mako would also work as a brilliantly deviously troll voice, or a voice for trollish Yoda.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I just now thought about Yoda, because I was trying not to do any of the, I think I was avoiding the puppets for whatever reason.
Yeah, voice work still absolutely would count, though.
Oh, it absolutely does. Again, I was putting this list together, and I was like, I don't know. And none of you guys thought I forgot anything major. Okay. Wedge Antilles is not technically a major character, but he is a major character in our hearts. And I'm going to say mine first, because Brian, this is for you.
Aw.
Rinko Kikuchi.
I freaking love it.
Yes!
And I wish I'd thought of it.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. Ah, I'm here for it. And makes more sense than my choice.
Oh, who's your choice?
I know this is going to sound weird, but I really do love him in everything he's in, and he just excels at being that, playing the sort of side role that adds a lot to the story, but Benedict Wong.
Oh. He was almost my Obi-Wan.
Ah, I could see that.
So, on this one, I went with Randall Park, who plays the dad in Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh.
Because he has the mix of, he can just sort of do a serious guy who's trying a lot, but then also kind of goofy, which just is what Wedge in the X-Wing series can be sometimes.
I like that a lot.
Wait, no.
Oh, no, he's Jansen. Wes.
Oh, so for Wes.
He's
so
Jansen.
I do have Wes, but I went with Awkwafina for Wes.
Oh, that's even better!
Oh, Wait. Can Randall Park be Tycho then? Or is he Hobby? No, he's Hobby!
He's Hobby.
Oh, Randall Park is definitely Hobby.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Are we going with, Rinko for Wedge?
Yes.
Jansen is Awkwafina.
Uh-huh. Randall Park is Hobby.
Where's Disney? We need to get them to make us a spinoff film of this.
Who's Tycho?
Who's Tycho? What do you think about a younger BD Wong?
Maybe, I don't love it. Because now all I can see with him is his Jurassic World character.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I was thinking more Mulan.
Oh. That's valid. But I don't have the same gut reaction like I did to the other two.
I mean, the other two are just freaking perfect. Awkwafina is Wes. Oh my god.
I was very happy about that one when it came to my mind.
That might be the most perfect casting of the night.
Gemma Chan? Is Tycho?
I could see that.
Because the sort of the regal vibe that Tycho has sometimes.
Yeah. Also, Wedge Tycho. I love the idea of Rinko Kikuchi as Gemma Champion. Oh my god. I'm just looking at this. I typed it out and I'm looking at it.
Can you imagine Awkwafina doing the It's a Gamorrean scene from Wraith Squadron?
Can we get, like, Heath or someone to, like, Photoshop our new, like, X-Wing group, our new Fab Four?
Yes, please, I need it. Randall Park as Hobby is perfect. Oh my god.
Oh, Randall Park is the perfect hobby.
Oh my god, this is so good.
Sorry, we're now fan casting the X-Wing books.
Apparently, okay.
Who would Face be?
So, okay.
An actor, obviously.
So here's the thing, is as a teenager, I was in a Star Wars RPG, in which Face had a kid. Well, multiple kids, because his life turned out a little bit slightly differently than in Mercy Kill. And I had Christopher Sean as one of his kids.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I kind of like him for Face. I'm assuming we're staying all... Are we staying all Asian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, of course.
Okay. Okay. But I'm not tied to it. Like, we can... But I just thought he has that... He just has that charisma that he think he could pull it off.
Yeah, I can...
I can go with it.
I can dig it.
Okay. Which means we need a Tawn.
A Tawn.
Who would he act well together with?
Yeah.
That I'd have to think more on, because it needs someone to be a good compliment slash foil.
Yep.
Appendix episode X-Wing series?
Yes, but I have a perfect one.
Okay.
Kel Tanner. Jamila Jamil.
Yep.
Ooh. Yep.
That, yep, that's the one.
Yep. Who's our Corin?
Oh my god. Do we have to have a Corin?
Yes, we do. We need a Corin.
So who goes well with otters?
Oh my god. I need to pull up the cast list of your Crazy Rich Asians. Hold on. Which just is already in my autocomplete on IMDb.
I can't believe we are casting the X-Wing books now.
Plot twist. Really?
This was...
I can definitely believe we're casting the X-Wing books now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I need someone who takes himself too seriously.
I don't know why, but I just got this image of Ken Jeong playing Corin, and I can't get it out of my head.
Yes.
But exactly like he played his character on Community.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Ben Chang as Corin. Yes, I am here for that.
Oh my god. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Oh my god. Okay. So who's the Mirax then?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
I think I like Constance Wu for Mirax.
I could see that.
But then again, I'm influenced by the fact that I'm literally staring at the IMDb list for Crazy Rich Asians right now. Hmm. Who's Lara?
Lara. Hmm. You know, I feel like that would be a good one for Lucy Liu.
Ooh. I mean, I guess, yeah. Ooh. I can see it. Okay, I just got a really bad idea.
Uh-oh.
Chloe Bennett as Corinhorn.
No, that's even better.
Which I think Corin loses something when it's not a guy, but I God help us all if he ever listens to this episode. I'm just imagining the otter.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry those words came out of my mouth.
No.
Friend, help.
We should probably wrap up before this show goes so far off the rails it never recovers.
Oh my god. Okay, I swear to god, 10 minutes just passed and when I blinked.
We are cast and done.
No.
See, that works on two levels.
Jay.
Hi. Jay, do your art corner.
All right, fine. Time to do the art corner. All right, so sharp transition, but my art corner was thinking about the previous episodes that we did on cultural appropriation and how Star Wars has already taken a lot of aspects of Asian culture, like the attire of the Jedi Knights or Naboo royal uniforms and things of that nature. And so my art corner is actually a bit of a question, which is, in a hypothetical universe where the cast of Star Wars was all Asian, do we think we'd want a space aesthetic that went with sort of real-world Asian influences, or do we want to go somewhere completely different?
That's a good question. If we were to use a predominantly Asian cast, I think a part of me would want them to lean into that with the art direction as well.
You know, I almost like the... I would want a mix.
Yeah, because it's like you run the risk of just having space Asia and then sort of taking away from the fantasy nature of your universe. But then on the other hand, part of what makes Star Wars work so well is the fact that it's grounded in the real world, even though it's set in space. So I think maybe a mix would actually, which is kind of what we have already, would be probably the best way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think a mix is a good idea. Also, because then it solves a lot of our... Well, then I guess it creates another problem. Because, like we talked about before with Padme... I think we talked about Padme's outfits and how they draw from more than just Asian cultures.
Yeah.
So does it then become a problem that you have African influences on an Asian actress? Or...
Right, because cultural appropriation doesn't just go one way, right? It goes in multiple directions, and Star Wars definitely pulls from multiple directions.
Yeah. I think maybe I would like to see them go heavier in some areas and lighter in others.
And maybe, like, less stereotypical. So maybe, like, maybe some of the military or spacey stuff could pull from Asian culture, because you don't really see that a lot. And then maybe... some of the ceremonial stuff, which is always what you see Asian culture, could be maybe something different.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. No, that's good. Okay. All right. Do you want to recap real quick before we go into the questions? Because our questions are a little bit broad this week. So, a recap our actors.
Sure. Like, just everyone go down their list, or?
Yeah, sure. For we change anything.
Okay. I guess I'll go. So, for Anakin, young Anakin was Ian Chen. Older Anakin was Dante Basco. For Padme, I had Ali Carvalho. For Obi-Wan, I had Daniel Dae Kim. For Qui-Gon Jinn, I had Mako. For Dooku, I had Amitabh Bachchan. For Palpatine, I had Michelle Yeoh. Shmi was Sandra Oh. And then Rick Oley was Manny Jacinto. For Leia, I had Constance Wu. Luke was Ming-Na Wen. Han Solo was Henry Golding. Obi-Wan was Ken Watanabe. Vader was The Rock. Wedge was Randall Park on mine, although I like our collective casting. And Wes Janson was Awkwafina.
Okay, so for me, my Anakin was Dev Patel, Padme was Gemma Chan, Obi-Wan, I kind of settled in on Daniel Dae Kim, Qui-Gon, Ming-Na Wen, Dooku, Francois Chow, Palpatine, Shoreya, Agdashlu, Luke, Ryan Potter, Leia, Ali Carvalho, Han, Louis Tan, Obi-Wan is Mako, Vader, Jason Momoa, and Wedge, Benedict Wong.
And for mine, I had Tiny Anakin was Ian Chen. Older was Harry Shum Jr. Padme, Gemma Chan. Obi-Wan, Dev Patel. Palpatine, Sheree Agdasho. I need someone to pronounce her name. Qui-Gon, Michelle Yeoh. Dooku, I'm switching to Jay's answer. Shmi, Joan Chen. Bail can now be Ken Watanabe. Mon Mothma's Kelly Hu. And then Han is Henry Golding. Luke is Ryan Potter. Leia is Lana Condor. Vader is 5 question marks. And Chow Young Fat inside more question marks. Obi-Wan is Anupam Kher. And then our collectively decided upon Fab Four. Rinko Kikuchi is Wedge. Awkwafina is Janzen. Randall Park is Hobby. And Tego is Gemma Chan.
I like
it. I feel really good about those last ones.
I love those.
I love that so much.
Oh, man. I feel good about this.
How is it? It's completely not a surprise that we just went all X-Wing at the end.
It's who really we are. Not.
I'm glad I did not expect us to do it, but I'm glad we leaned into it. Okay, so since we had a little bit stranger of a topic this week, our Tell That to Kanji Cast questions are a little bit broader as well. So Diana asked, if the Rose Tico show rumors are true, would you want it set pre or post The Last Jedi, and what's your dream scenario for whichever you choose?
Ooh, see, the thing is, even though post Last Jedi would be more interesting, I would want it pre Last Jedi so that way we can get Paige as well and have both of them together.
That's exactly my reasoning for wanting it pre.
Yeah. See, okay, I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but at this moment in time, I don't necessarily want a Rose show. Mostly because I don't know what happens after Last Jedi. Like, if there's adventures for her and, like, Finn and Poe and Rey to have after Episode 9, I'm all for it. I love your reasoning for having Paige in it before, but going by, like, Bomber Command and whatever the other book was called, there's not as much going on that I'm not sure it could sustain an entire show.
Yeah, good point.
Because they're on their colony world thing, right?
Yeah, they're on their colony world, and then they're on that. They're crewing the bomber.
Yeah.
So get back to us with that question after The Last Jedi.
Yes. And then John asked, if you're casting dead actors, how would you think Toshiro Mifune would have played Obi-Wan? I'm going with well.
I mean, legendary actor, definitely well.
Yeah, I think it would have been very interesting to see him play Obi-Wan and sort of see the vibe of Star Wars, what that would have done to the vibe of Star Wars and how we would have thought of Jedi and all of that.
Yeah. And then Diana asked us, what Asian American writers would you want to write Star Wars in any medium? Which I feel like is a crazy large question. And yeah. I feel like we've kind of talked about this one before, but I don't remember.
I think didn't we have an episode where we were talking about who we would want to write Star Wars? I know I went into one of the Rick Reardon Presents authors, I think, for that before.
That sounds right. Which, by the way, Dragon Pearl is very good. Everyone should go read it. It's a beautiful blending of mythology and space.
The summary of that looks amazing, and I definitely need to pick it up.
Like, that world building and that melding of science fiction and fantasy is honestly goals.
It's definitely high on my list.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if there's any other writers who come to mind immediately on this one. I mean, there's plenty. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd need to think about that one and come back to give a real solid answer.
Same.
Yeah. And then if Ken Liu were to write another Star Wars book, what would it be?
More stuff on Imperial bureaucracy. That was incredible.
Yes, I like that answer.
More Imperial bureaucracy.
I love that in the audiobook that it's a woman reading that section, because now I'm taking it as it's a woman who's that officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because fun fact, they never specify that officer's gender in the text.
which I thought was very interesting. It sort of plays with your perceptions, because even though we know and we're used to women being Imperial officers, I think it's an open question of what people would assume the Imperial speaker is if they don't have pronouns.
Yep. Oh, wait, I think I have an answer for the first question. So I haven't actually read it yet because it's in my pile, but I think Julie C. Dow would be interesting. She wrote A Forest of a Thousand Lanterns, which apparently is about, it's a book about an ambitious woman. You know how I feel about ambitious females, characters in any medium. So I think it'd be interesting to see how she handled a Star Wars story.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts before we wrap it up? Besides that our Fab Four is truly fabulous.
They are perfect.
We need that Photoshop.
Heath, here, I don't think you listen to this, but if you do, help me, Heath Juan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Okay. Any other thoughts, guys?
I think I'm good.
Yep.
All right. Well, join us next episode when we're going to go back to our deep dives and we'll be talking about Queen Jamila and Naboo. And also, I believe we added in Queen Saruna as well, which I think that's her name, from Shattered Empire. So don't forget, if you have any questions for us to answer on a future episode or just want to chime in or maybe even suggest a topic for us to cover, tweet them to us via the Tashi Station account. And you can use the hashtag KanjiCast.
All right, so this episode of the KanjiCast has been brought to you in part by you, our Patreon subscribers. We are part of the Tashi Station Network. Again, that's patreon.com/Tashi Station. $1 left gets you into the $1 Patreon exclusive Slack team, where you can ask us all sorts of questions about this show and the others on the network. On Twitter, you can find us with the handle Tashi Station. That's the official show account. You can find Bria with Chaos Bria. Jay is Admiral Jello. I'm Lane Winry, LaneWinree. You can find this store or this show on the Tashi Station Radio Mega Feed on the iTunes Store, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Our columns and news are at TashiStation.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We'll catch you all next time. So long.